Mussolini, His Part in My Downfall by Spike Milligan. Read by Spike Millington. Salerno, Thursday, September the 23rd, 1943. My diary. Still at war. Early closing in Catford. Read letters from mother saying Teasmans of Lewisham are so short of stock, the manager and staff sit in the shop miming the words, sold out. Dear listener, the beds in the Dorchester Hotel are the most comfortable in England. Alas, neither Diver Kigel nor Lance Bomberly Milligan are in a bed at the Dorchester. No, they are trying to sleep on a 10-ton scammer lorry parked on the top deck of 4,000-ton HMS Boxer, inside whose innards are packed 19 battery, 56th heavy regiment, all steaming in the hold. From below comes the merry sound of men retching, and it's all from Gunner Edgington. We are bound for sunny Salerno. For 13 days since the Fifth Army landing, a ferocious battle has ensued on the beachhead. Even as we rode the waves, we knew not what to expect when our turn came. The dawn comes up like thunder. Thunder? Yes, that's thin thunder. Shh! We all shout. The chill morning air touches the khaki somnambulists sleeping heroically for their king and country. We are awakened by Gunner Woods in the driving cab, who has fallen asleep on the motor horn. A puzzled ship's captain is wondering why he can hear the sound of a lorry at sea. Kigel gives a great jaw-cracking yawn, and that's him finished for the day. He stretches himself, but he doesn't get any longer. Deep in his eyes I see the engraved word, tea. Wakey, wakey, he said, but didn't. The ship is silent. The helmsman's face shows white through the wheelhouse. It is done, yawns Kigel. My watch says 20 past, I yawn. Yes, it's exactly 20 past dawn, he yawned. We yawned. Like a comedy duo, we both stand and pull our trousers on. Mistake! He has mine and vice versa. The light is growing in the eastern sky. It reveals a great grey convoy of ships plunging and rising at the dictation of the sea. LCTs, some 30 of them, all flanked by Navy Z-class destroyers. The one on our port bow is stencil B-4. Imagine the confusion of a wireless conversation with it. Hello, B-4, are you receiving me? Pause. Hello, B-4 answering. Hello, B-4, why didn't you answer before?
Because we didn't hear you before.
In the early light, the sea is blue-black like ink. Kigel is carefully folding his blankets into an unbelievable mess. I haven't slept that well for years. How do you know, I said. You were asleep. He chuckled. Well, it feels like I slept well. How did it feel? In the legs, the elbows, the teeth? I was determined to pursue the matter to its illogical conclusion. I mean, if sane people are going around saying, I slept well last night, what would lunatics say? I mean,
I stayed awake all night so I could see if I slept well.
I mean, we are interrupted by a shattering roar of aircraft. Spitfires, someone said, and we all got up again. Thank God they weren't Germans, said Kigel. Why, thank him, I said. He doesn't run the German Air Force. Thank Hitler.
All right, clever Dick, he giggled. This is going to sound silly.
Thank Hitler. They weren't Germans. The helmsman's face showed white to the wheelhouse. I produced a packet of woodbines. I offered one to Kigel. I had to. He's got the matches. My watch says 12:20, That means it's about 7 o'clock. We stow our gear into a lorry full of sleeping gunners with variable pitch snoring. Three of them are snoring the chord of C minor. We decide to walk forward. The Boxer makes a frothy swathe as her flat prow divides the waters. The sky is turning into post-dawn colours, scarlet, pink, lemon. It looked like the ending of a treacly MGM film where John Wayne joins the Ghost Riders in the sky. Personally, I can't wait for him to. It's chilly. We wear overcoats with the collars up. Kijun looks pensively out towards Italy. I was wondering about the landing. Don't worry about the landing, I said. I'll hoover it in the morning. He ignored me, but then everybody did. I've been thinking. Thinking, I said. This could mean promotion. I was thinking, supposing they land us in 6 foot of water. Then everyone 5'11¾" will drown. Well, that's the end for me, then. I thought you were a champion swimmer, I said. You can't swim in army boots, you're right. There's not enough room. What are you talking about? I'm talking about 10 words a minute. What are you talking about? A merry matelot approaches with a huge brown kettle. Are you lads like some cocoa? We galloped at the speed of light to our big packs and returned to meet the merry matelot as he descended from the bridge. He pours out the thick brown remaining sludge. The gulls in our wake scream as they dive bomb the morning garbage. We sip the cocoa, holding the mug with both hands to warm them. A change from holding the mug to warm the naffy tea. Another cigarette. What a lunatic habit, smoking. Here we are, I said. Now we go to these bastards who make these things, and we say, we will give you money for 20 of these fags. We smoke them, and we make the product disappear. Ha! Supposing you brought a piano on the same basis. Suddenly, in the middle of a concerto, it disappears. You have to belt out and buy another one to finish the concerto. I mean, it's lunacy. In the deckhouse, a red-faced officer scans the horizon ahead.
I wonder exactly where we are, said Kijel.
I think, I said, we're on the ancient sea of Tyrrhenium Sibe Infernum, and that finished him. When we reach Sicily, we will hug the coast to afford us air cover. And the way things are, I'd say that's all we can afford. We are travelling one of the most ancient trade routes in history. Carthaginians, Greeks, Romans, Mamelukes, Turks, and Mrs. Doris Hare. Fancy us being part of history, I said.
I don't fancy it, said Kijel.
The tannoy crackles.
Attention, please.
A gunner faints. What's up, we ask.
I thought I heard someone say, please.
Attention. This is the captain speaking.
What a good memory he had.
In 3 minutes, the attack guns will be firing test burst. This is only a practice. Repeat, practice.
Soon the sky was festooned with erupting shells, black puffs of smoke with red nuclei from the barrels of the multiple pom-poms. The tannoy again.
Hello, this is your... A burst of amplified coughing follows.
It's our resident consumptive, I said. The coughing ceases.
Attention! That practice firing will be repeated every morning at...
The helmsman's face showed white to the wheelhouse. I feel a sudden attack of roll call coming on, I said. I was right. Sergeant King lines us up on the deck. We answer our names and anyone that isn't even there. Even if they call Rasputin, a voice said, Sir! Milligan? Sir! Divine? Sir! Eddington? Eddington! From the deck below comes a weak voice.
Sir!
Followed by retching. Britannia rules the waves, but in this case he waves the rules. A roar of engines, the Spitfires return. We all get up again. They repeat, roaring back and forth throughout the day. We get used to it. We get so used to it that when a fock wolf shoots us up, we're all standing up, aren't we? Breakfast is happening in the galley.
I have been a slave to breakfast all my life, but breakfast and a galley slave never, said Kijel.
We lined up head-on to a trio of navy cooks who doled out spam fritters, bread, marge, jam and tea, and avoided looking at it when they did. We ate on top deck, enjoying the sea breeze, the pleasant weather. Were we really going to a war, or were we on our way to Southend for the day? As Kijel is licking his mess tins clean, the klaxons go. Submarine scare! Immediately the destroyers start circling. Gun crews scramble to their mounts, the barrels trained down. A false alarm. Curses. I wanted to see the greedy wake as the missile raced from the U-boat, a sneer on the German captain's lip. Take that, Englander! On the bridge of the HMS Dauntless, Lieutenant Winfred Berman Plague turned his trim little craft toward the black periscope. Full speed ahead! The words came through clenched teeth and fists. Too late, the Germans suddenly seized the bows of the British destroyer, sliced through the conning tower, splitting the Kaiser's picture into 1,000 fragments. We didn't even get a depth charge, said Kitchell. My God, I said, isn't a charge on depth now? A long, green, groaning thing is approaching. The identity tags say, Edgington, 393271, C of E. Was that a Jerry sub, he said. No, it was a false alarm, I said. Oh, dear, he moaned. I wanted something to cheer me up. He managed a wry smile, opened a tin marked emergency chocolate ration, and took out a cigarette. Never a stingy one, he offered them around. The fact that there was only one left in the tin left much to be desired. I desired it, so I took it. You sod, he said. We shared it. You feeling any better, I asked. He groaned, I'm no bloody good at sea. But you've always been at sea, Harry. I missed my bloody breakfast. We've just had breakfast, and believe me, you haven't missed anything, I said. Edgington's empty stomach rumbles loudly. Spitfire, shouted Kitchell. We all get up again. What was for breakfast, said Edgington. We don't know, I said. There's a court of inquiry this afternoon. Midday. The sun is out. It's the perfect temperature. Not hot, not cold, rather like naffy tea. September the 23rd, evening. My diary. Sighted northwest tip of Sicily. If my geographical recollections were right, that would be Cap St. Vito. It wasn't. In the evening light, inland mountains seemed made of purple mist. On the sea was a green-grey sea fret. To the primitive mariner, it must have given birth to legends. To Gunnar Little, it gave forth to a wonder what for dinner. He watches a destroyer's evasive zigzag course. Driver must be pissed, he said. He'd been a regular for 11 years and had risen to the rank of private. He was sweating on being downgraded. I don't think he could be. From where he was, the only way was up. He had two great bunions on his feet. Mind you, he didn't think they were great. They had promised to downgrade him to 2B. I approached him, struck a Hamlet-like pose, and I said, 2B or not 2B? He tried to throw me overboard. It'll be my luck to get killed, and next day it'll come through downgraded to B2. You wait and see, he said. That would be terrible, I said. Being killed is bad enough, but being a corpse and 2B as well, that's too much. The Cocoa Pot Matalo introduces himself. He was Eddie Hackshaw, and from what I hear, still is. A short, squat London lad with a cheery smile. He had taken a fancy to me. He gave me a silver Arab ring for luck. He troops Kidgel, Edgington, and myself down to the engine room. We meet the engineers. They are embalmed in oil and grease, all Liverpoolians. These are the whackers who do the engines, he said. Ah, the famous do-whacker-doos! Groans! They'd been working long hours since D-Day and looked desperately tired. It were bloody murder. Two of our lads are killed on deck by Jerry artillery. We sat at their mess table, which was now a complete mess. We haven't had time to scrub it since we did the landings. We sat and talked. They gave us tea, grub, and handfuls of fags. A big Liverpoolian, as I remember his name was Paul, said, do you know the anagram of Salerno was Nerthal? I thought it was the other way round, I said. The face of the helmsman showed white to the wheelhouse. Lunch was a mangled stew, lumps of gristle floating on the surface. Edgington said if you held your ear to it, you could hear an old lady shouting, help, help, the stew. The curtain of night is falling as we pass Argonaut-like in the shadow of Sicily. The sun, like a scarlet communion host, dips into a horizon that is gossamer with mist. The wave tops catch the last pink fading light and reflect like millions of flashing indicators. The night comes. We heard the tannoy.
Hello, attention. This is the captain speaking.
There will be no naked lights, matches or cigarettes during hours of darkness. We are travelling through a known U-boat area. Will all officers ensure that this order is carried out?
Dinner was lunch 4 hours later and several degrees colder. I went below and Hackshaw scrams me a bottle of beer.
Where you been? Said Kitchell.
In the galley. He leaps up, grabs his mess tins.
Is there more grub then? Is there more grub? He said,
saliva pouring down his chin like Pavlov's dogs. It may be an illusion, but night seemed to make the sea sound louder and lovelier.
It even made Kitchell sound louder and lovelier. It wasn't long before he was humming a little tune and preparing his bed. Standing on top of his lorry made him look taller. It was the only thing that did. I had once asked him, were all his family short? And he said, yes. And I said, why? And he said, because they're frightened of heights. We watched the destroyer sending a Morse lamp signal.
Do you know, I said, Gunner Little thinks that Ash Wednesday is a 4th Division football team? We laughed. We were the only ones.
Stop that noise! Do you want the bloody German submarines to hear us? Said the voice of Edgington. Don't worry, I said, we were laughing in German, I explained.
We slide into our blankets. Doug and I converse on cabbages and kings. I can't recall the dialogue, but I know we discussed where Alf Files would be. He was on his way from Malta, we learned later. We also discussed our fears about Salerno. Like an omen as we spoke, came the first distant boom of gunfire.
You hear that, said Doug.
Yes, I heard it. Gradually, silences between exchanges became longer. I thought of home. Will I see them all again? It all seemed so bloody mixed up. How did we ever let this happen? Had we challenged Hitler when he occupied the Saar, it would have been a pushover. Too late now, chum. Now he's every bit as strong as we are. Even stronger.